You're listening to The Theater of the Mind, transcribed on KVI, Seattle.
Tonight, The Theater of the Mind takes you on a strange trip into the imagination. Our play is titled Beacon 3699. It's Thursday afternoon in Wheeling, West Virginia. In a small, quiet office of Dr. H.B. Bowden, his final patient for the day is preparing to leave. He's a tall man with graying, close-cropped hair and lines of age creeping across his boyish face. Thursday at 4 is his time. Every Thursday at 4. This is Bob Keller, patient of Dr. Bowden, psychiatrist.
Then you don't think it would set me back
to fly out to the coast?
Not at all.
It might make you see that the past, your past, is dead. And with it, all those old guilt feelings that have been bothering you.
30 years. I probably won't recognize L.A.
I want you to do one thing, Bob. Mm-hmm. Be sure you visit your old neighborhood, your old home, if it's still standing.
I don't know if I can, Doc.
You'll find everything strange and changed. I want you to prove to yourself as graphically as possible that time and events roll on and cover up individual moments in the past. It's time you were through punishing yourself for the death of your parents. You were a 16-year-old boy and hardly knew how to drive.
Yeah, I know. I know, but you see, I've lived with the horror of this for 30 years, Doctor. I've lived with the knowledge that I wrecked a family car and killed my own mother and father.
Sure. And any time you want to recognize that experience for what it really was, you can. Bob, tell you what. You go out there and you see the old neighborhood. You'll see that the past you keep reliving is dead. It'll do you a world of good. Then take in the sights like a regular tourist. See Disneyland and the movie stars' homes. Oh, and keep a diary. In detail, if you will.
Okay, I guess I do owe myself a little change of scene. You know, I haven't been outside the state of West Virginia since I came here to live with my uncle.
Sure, and I'll see you whenever you like, after you get back. Only I don't think you'll be needing my services after that.
Well, I hope not.
Goodbye, Bob. Have a good time.
Good night, Mr. Keller.
What?
Killer.
Oh, good night, Miss White. Killer Keller. That's what the kids started calling me in school before my uncle took me back here to live with him. Every time I hear my own name, it starts. It accuses me again and again. But I'm well enough now to face the old sights again, go back to Los Angeles, a man of 46, and learn how to forget.
We'll return to Beacon 3699, tonight's adventure on The Theater of the Mind, in just a minute.
For a long time now, Evergreen Toyota has been noted for making better deals on the little car with all the options of standard equipment. And now we're offering a new service that's really unique. How'd you like the free use of a rental car whenever yours is in the shop for service or minor repairs? You heard me correctly. I said the free use of a car. At Evergreen Toyota, customer inconvenience is a thing of the past. When you buy a new Toyota or insurance-approved used car from Evergreen Toyota, you automatically receive the Evergreen Gold Card. This preferred customer card guarantees the free use of a rental car whenever yours can't be serviced or repaired on the spot. It's like getting a second car free. The Evergreen Go Card saves you time, money, and inconvenience. It's the green card that keeps you on the road.
Evergreen Toyota, located at 15025 First Avenue South in Burien.
And now back to Beacon 3699 on The Theater of the Mind.
June 24th, my first ride in the jet. Far cry from the old DC-3 that carried me back to West Virginia. Hey, I can even joke a little about it. I must be getting better. Well, I'm excited when we drop down out of the heavens and approach the glow ahead. The stewardess tells me that's Los Angeles. You can see it 100 miles away. 9:10 p.m., we've landed. Now I'm suddenly tired and a little afraid in the Los Angeles airport. Then I realize it's really past midnight back in Wheeling. We've outflown the time zone. I'm affected by the ungodly bigness of everything. And not a single face I know. Well, I get my luggage and decide to rent a car. We have freeways back home, but nothing like this. But I know where I want to go. Where I have to go. I'll find a motel somewhere close to the old neighborhood. And in the morning, in the light of day, I'll confront my oldest fears. The overhead signs flash by in green and white. Old familiar street names rise up to meet me. But the freeways change everything. I decide I have to get down off the freeway. Get down on some old, quiet, narrow street to get my bearings. Now, where am I? Let's see, this is West 65th Street. West 65th. There's an intersection up ahead with a traffic light. Let's see, what does the sign say? Manchester Boulevard. Manchester. My Lord, I'm on the edge of the old neighborhood now. I'm only 19 blocks away from our old street. I turn and I drive down Manchester. Everything's new. The streetcar tracks are gone. The funny old streetlights are gone, too. There isn't a storefront or even a building I remember. But far down the boulevard, silhouetted against the milky night sky, is the line of ancient palm trees. It was my childhood landmark of home. Now I'm only a few blocks from the home my father built us. We came to L.A. in 1930. Now, if I continued down Manchester for 3 or 4 miles, I'd come to the place where I lost control of my father's car. That Sunday, that horrible Sunday. I'll never forget that. He let me drive back from church. West 83rd. The next street now. West 84th. My old street. Hey, where's our house? It's gone. And the house next to it. Apartments in their place. And down at the next corner, will Appleton's store still be there? No. A motel. And it's like Dr. Bowden said, the past is dead. I decide to take a big step. I pull into the parking lot of a small motel. A neon vacancy sign is lighted in the window. I set foot on the old turf for the first time in 30 years. Even the air smells different out here. Smog is everywhere, even when it's not thickly visible. The front door is open, and I walk into a tiny entry with a linoleum-topped desk and a creaky wooden floor. There's a sterling living quarter somewhere behind the front office, and an old man steps into the dim light.
Evening.
Oh, good evening. Have a vacancy?
You planning to spend the night?
Well, yes, I was.
You got luggage?
Sure, out in the car.
You all by yourself?
Yes. Is that all right?
Plan to have guests tonight?
Look, mister, if you don't want to rent me a room, all
that'll be $8 in advance. Sign the register.
Now, wait a minute. I used to live around here. Why is all this third-degree business?
You from out of town?
Yes, I am now, from West Virginia, Wheeling. But you see, I used to live right on the street, just down by the other corner, by Manchester.
Well, you see, we run this by myself, mother and me. We run a nice, clean place. You want to see the room?
Oh, sure. By the way, my name's Keller.
Keller. All right, Mr. Keller. Hey, you say Keller?
Yes, Keller.
Oh, now I know why you look familiar. You used to live down this street.
Yes.
And you used to come in here when this was Appleton's
right.
Store. I bought out old man Appleton 25 years ago and turned this into motor court. Well, I remember you, Mr. Keller.
You remember me?
Sure, I remember you.
It's been 30 years.
See, I worked for Appleton. You saw you nearly every day in the store before you left town. Well, this your first trip back?
Yes, my first trip back.
Well, it's funny you come right back here to spend the night. You going to stay long?
No, I don't know. Hey, could I see the room, please?
Oh, sure. Yeah, right this way. I'll get the key. I tore down the old repair garage that you may remember used to be here beside the grocery, and I bought the Hastings house that was next to that. You remember the Hastings? Now, they had a boy about...
We walked down a blacktop driveway past several motor court units, oddly old-looking now, although they were new to me, of course, and stopped in front of the unit at the end of the driveway.
Right on up here in the carport. Here, now, just a minute. I'll let us in. Yeah. Now, your lights are here.
The room was a study in memories. A braided rug covered a Congolian floor. An iron bedstead supported a double bed with a floral quilted cover. But don't dark brown rocking chair set in the corner beneath a bridge lamp with an orange shade. And from the ceiling hung an imitation wrought iron chandelier with orange flame bulbs. Over the bed hung a large framed reproduction of the Angelus. This room might have been transported direct from my old home.
It's not too ultra-modern, Mr. Keller, but it's clean, and hey, you like that bed. Oh, and you do have a phone here beside the bed.
He pointed to a phone that Southern California Bell must have forgotten existed. It was the upright kind with a dial in its base, a tall column with a mouthpiece on top, and a separate receiver on a cord hanging on a hook.
Like I say, it's nothing fancy, but it works. Well, you bring your car on down and park in the carport, and if you need anything, the missus and I'll be up till pretty late. We always watch Johnny Carson. Well, good night, Mr. Keller. Hope you sleep well.
Good night. I didn't get his name. Oh, here it is on the matches. Sawyer's Liver Court. For a good night's rest. Well, here's hoping.
We'll continue with Beacon 3699, tonight's adventure on Theater of the Mind, after this time out. Tonight, your Tradewell grocer is again using some dramatic radio sound effects to get across the point of his radio commercial. Ready there in the sound effect department?
Ready when you are, Stevie.
All right. Now, your Tradewell store is shooting down high prices. Yes, in every department, your Tradewell grocer has traveled near and far to bring you the finest, freshest foods. And you can't keep that news to yourself. For as neighbor tells neighbor and friend tells friend, the word about Tradewell's superior quality and low prices is front page news. So wherever you live, right around the corner and up your avenue, there's a Tradewell store near you. Drop in and ask for, expect, Tradewell savings. Yes, Tradewell is the super supermarket. Mount up. Come visit us. First thing tomorrow. Now we continue with part two of Beacon 3699.
When I got my bags inside the room, I just walked through the place for a few minutes. The world and all time had stopped in this place sometime in the 1940s. But my eyes kept roaming back to that old telephone. I hadn't seen one like that since I'd lived at home, just at the other end of this very block. Why, I hadn't even used a dial in years. How did the phone company overlook this wonderful old antique? Well, suddenly I was very tired. I took off my shoes and my coat and lay back on the bed. Hey, Sawyer was right. It was comfortable. As a matter of fact, it reminded me of my old bed in my room at our old house. Oh, no, I had to get a hold of myself. Everything in this room was starting to remind me of home. It was starting to get to me. And I was staring at that telephone. It was an antique. They hadn't even changed the number card. Beacon. The same old prefix we used to have. See, what was our old number? Beacon 3699. I dialed it hundreds of times from my friends' homes, and it always answered with my mom's voice. So sweet and yet so remote over the wire. She was always home. Always. God, how I wish she were there. How I wish I could just pick up this old phone and dial our old number. CBE3699. I could just hear it. What did I dial? What did I dial? I dialed our old number. It's ringing.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, is that you, Bob?
Who is this?
Bob? It's Bob, isn't it? What's the matter, son?
No, you see, I must have dialed the wrong number. What number is this?
It's Beacon 3699. Oh, Bob, I recognize your voice. Are you all right?
Is this Mom?
Oh, gracious, of course this is your mom. Oh, my, it's good to hear your voice, dear.
But this can't be happening.
Why, of course it's happening. It's been a long, long time, son.
Oh, I know, Mom. It's been so long.
Now, dear, everything's all right. Everything's just fine. Here, Robert. It's Bob. Here's your father, dear.
Father? This can't be. It's not real.
Hello, Bob.
Dad?
For Pete's sake, where the Sam Hill you been keeping yourself, son?
In West Virginia, Dad. We're with Uncle Paul. You remember.
Well, how is your Uncle Paul?
Oh, just fine, Dad. Hey, Dad, is this really you?
Oh, you bet your sweet life it is.
Well, Dad, I just got back in town,
well,
Dad.
Well, that's wonderful, son. Doing all right back there, are you?
Yeah, just fine. But, Dad, listen. Where are you?
Did you ever find the right girl, son?
No, I didn't, Dad. I was married for a little while, a year, but it didn't work out.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, you keep right on looking.
I will, Dad. But listen, where are you?
You know, I always knew you'd be too doggone independent for most girls, but you keep right on looking, Robert.
Dad, where are you and Mom? Can I see you?
Well, we'd love to see you. We'll be getting together.
But how? When can I see you?
Well, not too long.
Not too long? Dad, listen, I have to ask you something, Dad. Dad? Are you still there, Dad? Hello? Hello? Dad? Are you still there, Dad?
Dad? Hello?
Operator.
Operator, I was just cut off.
What number were you speaking to?
It was Beacon, 3699.
Beacon? What city, sir?
Los Angeles, operator. Here in Los Angeles.
Sir, we have no prefix names in Los Angeles. These have been obsolete for several...
I know that. All I can tell you is I dialed BE3699 and the phone rang and I got an answer and we were cut off.
Sir, this system is now an all-digit system, so the prefix BE would become the numbers 23. Did you possibly key an extra digit?
I didn't key anything, operator. This is an old dial telephone.
Well, sir, our records do not indicate any obsolete equipment in use in this particular switching center. I'll take your number and have repair service check it out.
No, wait, please. Don't call repair service. I mean, I'm not making an official complaint. I don't want anything changed.
But, sir, you did call to report a malfunction.
Yes, you're right. As you said, I must have keyed an extra digit and gotten hold of a wrong number.
Yes, sir.
And I was just kidding about this being a dial telephone. Just putting you on, okay?
Very well, sir.
And listen, I'm sorry I bothered you. An operator?
Yes, sir.
Forget about calling repair service, okay?
Very well, sir.
Thank you. Good night.
We'll continue with part three of Beacon 3699 in just a minute.
Have you ever bought a new car and in time suffered the inconvenience of having to leave it in the shop for a few days for some small service or minor repair? Then you, the new car owner, are stranded. Happens all the time, but not at Evergreen Toyota. When you buy a new Toyota, the car that has all the options of standard equipment or an insurance-approved used car at Evergreen Toyota, you automatically receive the Evergreen Go card. This preferred customer card guarantees the free use of a rental car whenever yours can't be serviced or repaired on the spot. It's like getting a second car free. Only at Evergreen Toyota can you take advantage of the best possible Toyota deal around and at the same time receive the Evergreen Go card. It's the green card that keeps you on the road.
Evergreen Toyota, located at 15025 First Avenue South in Burien.
Now, back to tonight's Theater of the Mind presentation, Beacon 3699.
The next morning, sunlight is streaming through the ivory lace curtains at the window. I have to take several seconds to realize where I am. I'm still in my clothes, unchanged from the night before. I snap off the lights in the room and stare hard at the telephone by the bed. I force myself to go over in my mind every detail of the telephone call. I dial an obsolete telephone number on an obsolete telephone. The number answers, and I talk for several minutes with voices which were identical to those of my mother and father, who've been dead for 30 years. And the number's cut off, and the operator assures me there's no such number. Well, conclusions? I was dreaming, hallucinating, or totally out of my head. I seriously considered phoning Dr. Bowden back in Wheeling, but think better of it. Instead, I shower, dress in sports shirt and slacks, and step outdoors. The sunlight shining through the morning haze of modern Los Angeles is reassuring.
Mr. Sawyer, the motel owner, is watering his bright red begonias growing along the side of the office.
Well, good morning, Mr. Keller. Sleep well?
Yes, sure did. Like you said, a fine bed.
Well, that's good. Say, I'll tell you something that occurred to me after you turned in last
night.
Well, Mrs. Sawyer and me were watching Johnny Carson, and she remarked that some of the furniture in that unit you're in might very well have come from your old house.
How was that possible?
Well, you know, after your mom and dad passed away, you was sent back...
Yes, back to live with my Uncle Paul in West Virginia.
Yeah, well, after that, they closed up your house, Bob. You don't mind me calling you that now. We always call the neighborhood kids by their first name,
you
know?
That's fine, Mr. Sawyer. You were saying?
Well, after that, they closed the place up. The furniture and all right in it. And it went into litigation. Well, you know how it is. First thing you know, vandals broke the front windows. So they boarded the place up and they auctioned off all the furniture and rugs and dishes and everything. They give the clothes to the Goodwill.
He didn't know any of this.
Well, he was too young at the time. You were, what, 14? No, no, you were old enough to drive, weren't you? Oh, excuse me, Bob.
Oh, that's all right. Go on.
Now, anyway, they put all the household goods up for auction. And by that time, I was planning to buy out Appleton and build this motor court. So I bought up a lot of your folks' old furniture and that from some of the other houses when they tore them down to put in those apartments. And I stored it until I got the motor court built.
And maybe that's why the room looked so familiar to
me. Well, could be. Of course, all these houses along here was about the same. They were built about the same time, you know, and their furniture was about the same. People all earned about the same those days. Poor, you know, depression times and all.
Well, what about the old dial phone? Every room have one?
Well, I'll tell you about that, but you keep this under your hat now. Along right after the war, you pick up those old upright phones as surplus. Now, you weren't supposed to hook them into your line, but I wanted to put a phone in each unit of the court, and you know what that'd cost, so I sort of bootlegged them. I figured what the phone company don't know won't hurt them. You know?
But I thought the phone company could, you know, tell if unauthorized equipment was hooked up to your number.
Well, I don't know. They never bothered me. I pay my phone bills regular. They don't give me any problems.
I see.
Why, you had some trouble with your phone last night?
Trouble? Oh, no. Not a bit. Times during the day, I tried dialing the old home phone number again, but each time nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. By nightfall, I just about decided what happened the previous night had been a dream. I went out to dinner, read the papers, finally came back to the motel room. When the dim orange glow from the bridge lamp, the room took on a mellow, familiar aura. The objects in the room seemed more a part of my life than anything that had happened to me in 30 years. Well, once more, I lay on the bed and picked up the phone. One last try.
Hello?
Mom?
Why, hello, Bobby. I was hoping you'd call again.
Mom, I tried again and again all through the day, Mom. It would ring.
Well, sometimes you just can't get through.
Mom, I've got to talk to you about what happened.
Oh, never mind that now, son.
No, now, I've got to, Mom. Mom, I'm so terribly sorry.
But don't you talk like that. There's nothing to be sorry for.
Yes, there is, Mom. You see, I thought I knew how to drive. I was so proud to have a license. And gosh, I was sure proud of Dad's Hudson. He loved it so much. I know how he loved that car, Mom.
Now, Bobby, you mustn't take on so. Here, let your father explain.
I'm so sorry. I'm so terribly sorry.
Robert, is that you?
Hey, Dad, yes. I was telling Mom, Dad, I'm really sorry about what I did.
Now, you listen here to me a minute, son. You're not to feel that way, you hear me?
But, Dad, I killed you. I killed the two people I love the most in this world.
Now, Bob, you stop that talk. We don't like that kind of talk here. I want to explain a couple of things to you. Number one, you talk about death as if it were the end of everything. Well, it isn't. It's the end of one phase in our lives, but it's the beginning of another. Right, Mother? Here, you talk to him.
All right. Now, son, you heard what your father said. We just hate to use the word killed or dead because they always mean sadness. But we know, individually, of course, everyone comes to know that this is a necessary part of our progress.
Progress?
Certainly. We go on. We never stop. Never. Can you imagine that?
No.
Well, you just wait. Now, the other thing, Bob, is this. The moment your father and I came over was set. I mean, it had to happen. If it hadn't happened that Sunday with you at the wheel, it would have upset everything in the universe. We had an appointment we had to keep. Everyone does. We were needed here.
Mother, I think I'm crazy.
What's that?
I said I think I'm crazy, Mom. I'm sitting here on Earth talking into a telephone with my parents who are...
We're here too, Bob, only we can't be seen. Oh, I wish sometimes we could just step over long enough to... But those who do that are terribly unhappy people. No, I can't go any further than that.
What do you mean, Mom? Mom? Oh, no, we cut off again.
I can't say any more.
No, wait, I won't let you go again, Mom. I won't.
Hello, Bob. Now, son, you have to understand. I know this separation is hard for you, but it's just for a little while more. You understand? Just a while.
Oh, Dad. If only I could just see you again.
You will, son. You will.
Concluding moments of Beacon 3699, following this message.
Yellow 19, yellow 19.
The impact may shake the stadium when Emerson Boozer, Matt Snell, and John Riggins try to run over Joe Green, Lloyd Voss, and Chuck Allen. And that will be just a part of the thunderous action when the New York Jets and the Pittsburgh Steelers collide in a great National Football League preseason game at Husky Stadium Saturday, August 12th at 4 p.m. There are big names, great stars on both teams, and you'll enjoy every play on the plush new AstroTurf field. Proceeds of the game will benefit the Special Olympics of the Washington Association for Retarded Children and Seattle Seafair. Tickets are on sale at all Fidelity Lane outlets. This is Bob Robertson. I'll be there, too, to bring KVI listeners every exciting moment of Seattle's biggest sports event of the summer. Our broadcast will be presented by Texaco. Remember, you can trust your car to the man who wears the star, your Texaco dealer. Remember, the New York Jets versus the Pittsburgh Steelers Pro Football in Seattle, August 12th, airtime at 3:35 p.m. on your sports station, KVI 570.
Time to call it a day.
Those are the best doggone beginnings I think I've had in... which phone is that?
Oh, Bob Keller's unit. Well, why don't he answer? Well, by golly, he must be in there. Now, the man can't call a minute his own around this place. Bob? Keller? Keller, are you in here? Hello?
Hello. Is this Mr. Sawyer?
Yes.
I have a message for you from Mr. Keller.
Well, I'll take it.
He wants you to take the money for the room out of his wallet there on the dresser. And please write a note to a Dr. Bowden in Wheeling, West Virginia. Just tell him that Bob says everything is all right at last. He's come home.
Beacon 3699 was written and directed by Jim French. Heard in the cast were Douglas Young, Bob Roberts, Jim French, and Pat French. John Pricer speaking.
Listen every weekday evening at 10 o'clock for KBI's Theater of the Mind.